Okay, let's begin, guys. I want to do three quick mahalchim and bava kamet from our sugya, and then we'll see in Yonah Shabbos. The Gemara gave an afkemine. The afkemine was, the Gemara had said, according to Ravidi Baravin, in the second stage of the Gemara, if we didn't know whether he ate kush or shmeina, what do we say he must pay? We said that according to Ravidi Baravin, he has to pay for shmeina. And Rava said it's not fair. Amar Rava Ilya Dinin Tikechusha Achol Mishalim Chusha Hashtal Yadinin Mishalim Shemena Amutzim Echalav Araya. Doesn't make any sense, Rava said. If you don't know how much you ate, how much you make him pay the Shemena? So the Miri has a line I wanted you to see here, quoted by the Shidim Mikubetzis, and the Miri himself here says that what happens if a shore eats a furrow and no one knew the worth of that particular furrow that he ate, but all the furrows were equal the same amount of money. So what's the din if all the furrows were equal the same amount of money? So he writes, Beferish, that it seems to him that he should pay the worth of what the price is. So if they're all equal the same, and you don't know exactly what the particular furrow that he ate is, well, if they're all the same, why can't you just pay that? And that's what he says you should pay. And then he quotes a Yesh Omrim that says that that's wrong. That he says you never know. Maybe the one you ate was less, and therefore it seems like you don't pay. You don't pay anything until he proves to you how much you got to pay. And the Miri says it's wrong. Miri Kasev Shein Divrayim Neirim. The Miri says the words of that Yesh Omrim are wrong. It's one thing if they're not equal, all the same prices. So obviously you pay the lowest amount of price, because Motzei Mechalav Araya. But the bottom line is that if you assume that they're all equal the same, so why can't you make the supposition that this one he ate was the same price, and therefore the halacha is you should pay that. And then he quotes Yesh Omrim that says, even in that case, you never know. And therefore, you're not going to make the fellow pay. It seems like you'd have to pay the lowest amount that exists. But he says that that's wrong. So, and that's Rav David Bavarsky's Masber, that the Svara of the Miri makes a lot of sense. That since all the furrows are equal, why should we be in doubt as to whether, since all the furrows are equal, why should we be in doubt whether this furrow is Chusha or not? And therefore, it's not shaykh to say Motzei Mechalav Araya. Listen, you with me? Therefore, you're not shaykh to say Motzei Mechalav Araya. Because since all the arugas are equal, why should you be having something that this furrow was even less? And therefore, the halachas pay what that price is. Okay, so that's the first mahalach I wanted to mention from the Meiri. Meiri has this beautiful chiddush, and it makes a lot of sense. Okay, that's number one. Here's fee number two. Second mahalach I want to get to now is the following. What's the hesber in that? Before we go to the second mahalach, you have a, what would be the svara that Yesh Omrim? I guess the svara that Yesh Omrim would be kind of like what we spoke about in the Chabur, and I mentioned it to you, that we have a principle, Ein Hochem D'Mamanach HaRov. Even if you have a rov, this would be against Rabbi Kiva Eger, this is what I'm suggesting. Even if you have a 99% rov, you cannot be Motzi Mammon with a 99% rov. Because we paskin like Shmuel, Ein Hochem B'Mammon Achar Rov. So you know, you can tell me from today until tomorrow, 99 of the furrows are worth $100. The one that was eaten, we happen to not know what the price is. So why can't you go, well, no, we hold an extreme version that you never go Basar Rov in Dini Mammonis, and therefore we paskin Motzi Mechavel or all of Allah V'Raya. Okay, that would be a tremendous Chiddush. But I want to say that The Meiri and the Yesh Omrim are arguing. This is the chiddush we want to suggest. The Meiri and the Yesh Omrim argue, if you have a gigantic rove, can you go bust the rove in Dini Mominus? The Meiri says you can, like that Rabbi Kivager we mentioned, and therefore Lamais can assume it's the same price. And the Yesh Omrim says you cannot. You need to be 100% sure. Even if you have a gigantic rove, you can't be a Motzi Momin with that type of rove. Okay? It's got to be a Vadai. So that's the first mahalach we want to suggest. Machlekes Miri and Yesh Omrim. Number two. Yeah, go ahead, Adam.
So in that case, the Miri would really be the Chiddush and not the Yesh Omrim.
the way we're saying it, but this seems like so convincing the way he says it, you know, that it's like 99 out of 100. But you're right. It depends upon to what degree we will go buster a gigantic role of Dini Mamas. Rabbi Kiveger against the other Gedol Achronim. So that's what we want to say the Chiddushes of these 2 days in the Meiri. Okay? So we rooted it in the Rishonim. Okay, that's the first Mahalach. Second Mahalach. Let's get it. What did the Gemara say here on Vavim and Beis? You want to tell you with me? Ahani Kraw. What was the case of Ahani Kraw? What was the case of Ahani Kraw? Oh, the case of Shutel Shemikra, the Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva both agree that the Mazik has Ziboiris and Idis, but the Ziboiris and the Mazik are not as good as the what? Idis and the Nizik. So we bump him all the way up to pay from his own what? His own Mazik. We bump him up to pay from his own Idis. Yes? That's what the Gemara said, Beferish, Ahani Lekra. Okay. Rabbi Kiveger asks a very interesting kasha. Rabbi Kiveger asks right here, I gave it to you, it's in the Chiddush Rabbi Kiveger here, why does the Gemara got to get so fancy? Why can't the Gemara just give a push-up shot? And what's that push-up shot? Why can't you tell me about a case where the Nizik has no land at all? Yeah? Why don't you say the Nizik has no land at all? So if the Nizik has no land... What'd you say? I'm sorry, I apologize. The Mazik. No. No. He's asking him, why can't you say where the Nizik has no karka to pay Lafi Idis of the Mazik? Okay? In other words, you're going to... It's a great kasha you point out, Lamaisa. But Rabbi Kiveger says, why don't you just say the Pasuk is talking about with the Mazik, and the Gemara could have said Bepshitis where the Nizik had no karka at all, Lamaisa. The only karka that he had was the one that was damaged. So he's got nothing else. Yeah, he's got nothing else. So if he's got nothing else, what should you do? What should you do if you got nothing else? And you're a Rabbi Shmuel man, well, you normally say Benizik Shaiminin, but he has no land. So what do? You pay with the Idis and the Mazik and done. See, the Gemara gives you an example that what? That we bump him up to pay Mazik of the Idis of the Mazik. What do you got to get so fancy like that? Just say, Rabbi Kiveger says, that the only land the Nizik had was the one that was damaged, like Yonatan said. He's got nothing else. So if he's got nothing else, Lamaisa, if he has nothing else, so then obviously you're going to pay with the Idis of the Mazik. The Shita Megubetz is B'Shem the Gilyon Acher asked this Kasha as well. Okay? So you have to tell me, Lamaisa, you know what? I could even give you a scenario, Yonatan, that maybe he doesn't even have his own land. Maybe he only has Paris. Yeah, maybe he bought only the Paris, but the land itself he didn't own. So I could even give you that case. You know, he mamish had nothing. You don't have to say that the only one that he had was damaged. He only owned the fruit, and that fruit was eaten. He has no land to his name. You follow what I'm saying, Adam? That was Rabbi Kiveger's kasha. It's a good hara, Yonatan. That's what you have to say. Let's say you only owned the Paris. So if you only had the Paris, that Paris is eaten. So what are you going to pay? So you pay according to who? You pay according to the Idis of the Mazik. You pay according to the Idis of the Mazik. That's what Rabbi Kiveger asks. It's a very strong kasha. And this kasha was asked by the Shiba to Mekabetz of Shem, the Gilyon Acher. So what's the answer? The answer is a very simple answer. One answer is that what did it say? Bubir bistay acher. What does bir bistay acher mean? That what? The mazik damaged in his fields. Mashma that he had a field. So, in other words, kind of like what you're saying, Yonatan, but he proves it from the pasuk. It's his bir bistay acher. So, therefore, that's the answer that the Rabbi Kiva, the Yeshita Mekubetzis wants to give. Shame the Gilyon. Obviously, the Nizik had land. That's what the pasuk says. So you can't tell me that we're talking about a case where the Nizik had no land fee. Can't talk about that case. So that answer is so obvious. You know, Rabbi Kiveger was a genius. He was an Ilu Yotzim. The answer is such an obvious answer. What do you mean, Rabbi Kiveger didn't know the Poskin Chumash? You know what I'm saying? What was Rabbi Kiveger asking? So Rabbi Kiveger was asking, says the Darkei David Lamaisa, obviously had land. You know who else says that answer? The Darkei David or Shlomo Zalman, they all say that he had land. How do you know he had land? It says, Abir Bistayacher. So then what was Rabbi Kiveger's kasha? I mean, he was an Elui. You know what I'm saying? Such an obvious answer. Why would he ask that, you know, why did the Gemara give a simpler case where he has no land? The Pasuk says he had land. So the Gedulei Shmuel says like this. The Gedulei Shmuel says that he answered Rabbi Akiva Eiger. You know what Rabbi Akiva Eiger meant? Kind of like what I just said to, Yonatan. You ever heard of the concept of Kanas Sada LePerosov? Let's say I buy your field, but I only want the what? I only want to own the fruit. So there is a field, but you're going to retain ownership. So when it said Bir B'Steyacher, it meant the field that his fruit were on. But it didn't mean that he owned the land. He only owned the fruit. It's not Metaflon yet, because it's still Mechubar LeKarka. When it gets uprooted, it'll be called Metaflon. But he only bought the Sada LePerosov. I mean, he only bought the fruit of the field. But the field itself, Yonatan retained ownership. So I only bought the fruit. You follow me? But when it says Bir B'Steyacher, it meant the field, you know, where my fruit was sitting. But not that it was my field. That's what they want to say Rabbi Akiva Eiger was asking. Why didn't the Gemara give that case? That's how they want to save Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So, you know what? Now that we've saved the Kasha, why didn't you give the following answer? Why can't you say that the Nizik had land, Bismana Nizik, and then he sold it? Why can't you say that he had it, Lamaisa, and therefore he has no Idis now? Why can't you say that at the time of the collection, because after the damage, he had land at the time of the damage, but at the time of the collection, he already got rid of it. So that's that Lamaisa. That Lamaisa would be such a scenario. You know, why can't you say that that was the Kavan of Rabbi Akiva Eiger when he asked his Kasha, and now he has no land? You know what I mean? That's what Rabbi Akiva Eiger was driving at. Not a case of subtle Perosov. Maybe what Rabbi Akiva Eiger was driving at is that what he had land. I had land, Yonatan, when you damaged me, but I sold it by the time you collected it. So that, why don't you give that case? You know why you can't give that case? Because Rabbi Akiva Eiger holds in Gittin, which I brought into Shir, Rabbi Akiva Eiger holds in Gittin, that what's the clinching time? Do you look at the time of the collection, or do you look at the time of what? The damage. You look at the time of the damage. And he had land at the time of the damage. So that could not have been what Rabbi Akiva Eiger meant. Okay? That cannot have been what Rabbi Akiva Eiger meant. So let's chazer over what we have so far. What do we have so far? We asked, why did the Gemara give that fancy example that the Mazik had Idis, had Ziboris and Idis, and the Ziboris was what? Was not as good as the Idis. You had to bump them all the way up to the Idis of the Mazik. Just say simple, the Mazik has no karka. Just say simple, the Mazik has no karka. So, and if he has no karka, what do you have to do? You have to what? And we said he had no karka at all. Maybe the only thing he had was the fruit, kind of like what we said. So what's the answer? The answer is that he ate up all the fruit. And therefore, Lamaisa, it's a great kasha. Why does Gemara have to be so fancy? Be simple. What's the answer to that kasha? The answer to that kasha is the Pusik's mashma, Bir B'Steyacher, that he had a field. So it's such an obvious answer. What was Rabbi Akiva Eiger's kasha? So we want to say what Rabbi Akiva Eiger was asking is maybe you bought the Sada LePerosov. Since you bought the Sada LePerosov, that's what the Gedulei Shmuel says, you didn't own the real field, you only owned the fruit. And why did the Gemara give that case? Okay, good. Maybe that would have been Rabbi Akiva Eiger. That was the kasha of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. And the answer might be is that the Pusik's not mashma the way. Pusik mashma, you own the field and the fruit. But that's a plausible way of being mashma, at least Rabbi Akiva Eiger's kasha. You got me, Yonatan? But then we said a next step, and that next step is that why can't you just say simple? And that is that he had land at the time of the damage, Nissen, but by the time what? But by the time the collection time came, he already had sold the land. So now he has no land. So the reason why you can't say that, because Rabbi Akiva Eiger already assumed in Gittin that you go bust at the time of the damage. If he had land at the time of damage, done. So we don't look at the time of the collection.
Why do you assume otherwise?
It's good kasha. Nissen, we'll get to that. That'll be the third mahalach. But that's what we want to assume. You can't give that, you can't answer that kasha. You can't say that's what Rabbi Akiva Eiger meant when he asked the kasha, that he said he had no land, because he had no land. He had land at the time it has it, but the time of collection I didn't have. Because Rabbi Akiva Eiger says the clinching time is the what? Is the time it has it, not the collection. Okay. So, that leads us to the last nakuda, and that is that Reb Arya Leib Malin wants to say, Reb Arya Leib Malin, the great Gon, wants to say that Rabbi Akiva Eiger's kasha is totally on those 2 days in the rush that we had. Do you remember what those 2 days in the rush were? What were those 2 days in the rush? If you have Bainanus, can you pay with Bainanus was worth more, right? Can you pay with the Bainanus or you bump them still up? Right? The Yeshomrim in the what? The Yeshomrim in the rush and the Ritvin get and say, you pay with the Bainanus. And the rush is you still bump them up. So Rav Aryeh Leib Malin wants to say that the Kasha of the Rebbe Kiveger is only assuming like one of them. Which one? Which one do you think it's assuming? So he wants to say that Kasha of Rebbe Kiveger is only assuming Halach Lamaisa like the rush. Because what does the rush always say? You always got to bump them up. So he says, where the Nizik has no karka, what do you do? If the Nizik has no land at all, pay the Ittis. Right? If the Nizik has no kark at all, the Mazik should pay from his own Ittis. Yeah? So why did the Gemara give that simple case? So I want you to get down. The Kasha Rebbe Kiveger says Rav Aryeh Leib Malin is only according to Rosh. Whereas according to the Yeshomrim and the Ritva, what does the Yeshomrim and the Ritva say? What do the Yeshomrim and the Ritva say? That you can pay with the Bainanus. So in this case where the Nizik has nothing, pay with even your Zibiris. Anything's better than nothing. Anything's better than nothing. So therefore what? The Kasha doesn't start according to that other day. Because you never would, we never would make him pay Ittis. You follow me? If the Nizik has zero, then what happens? Then you pay with whatever you have. So I could pay him with my worst stuff. I could pay him with Bainanus. Here he has nothing. So let me pay with anything's better than nothing. So Zibaris would be good. So please get that down. The whole Kasher B'Kadega is only according to the Rosh. Says you always got to bump the guy up with Ittis. So here where the guy has no land at all, what do? You pay Ittis. But if you hold like the Yeshomrim and the Rosh and the Ritva, that you pay really with what? You pay really with Bainanus, Lamaisa, because that's better. So in this case where the guy has zero, you can't even pay with your Zibaris. Anything's better than nothing. You follow me? Don't bump them all the way up. So the Kasha wouldn't start, give a simple case where the Nizik has no land and make him pay Ittis. Yonatan, that'll only be according to who? The Rosh, you follow me? But not according to the Yeshomrim and the Ritva. You follow me? That's the Chiddush we want to suggest. Okay, but one more Nekud I want you to get. And then we'll chazer the whole thing, the second Mahalach. The Dvar Yaakov wants to say in both directions, he makes you really think. He wants to say in both directions, he makes you really think. What do you mean in both directions? He basically says, I don't really agree with Aryeh Leib Malin because you can definitely distinguish between a case where the Nizik has no land and a case where he has land, Bainanus, that's a little better than the Zibaris to the Nizik. Why? So he says like this. According to the Rosh, what does the Rosh say? You always bump him up and pay Ittis. Yes? You always bump him up and pay Ittis. Because that's because he had land. The Nizik had land at that time. So he does have land. So the Bainanus Lamaisa is worth a little more. I don't care. If you can't pay the what? The match the Ittis of the Nizik, because your Zibaris is worse, you got to go all the way up to Ittis. But in a case where there's no land at all, maybe the Rush would agree, Halach Lamaisa, when there's no land at all, you look at what exists during the times of the Tashlumen. And at the times of the Tashlumen, maybe one would suggest, Lamaisa, that it's considered to be what? It's considered to be, well, we would say it's considered to be Ittis of the Nizik. In other words, you could pay anything you want. Where there is no land, maybe the Rush would say, no, you know what? Whatever is, I can pay with my Zibaris. You understand what I'm saying? Maybe the Rush would agree in a case where the guy never had any land. Whatever I want to pay at that time will be considered like his Ittis, because he has no land anyway. You know what I'm saying? Maybe the Rush, you cannot extrapolate the Rush from the Rush's case, because the Rush talking about is where the guy had land. But we're talking about Rabbi Kiveger's old Kasha is where the guy has no land. So maybe the Rush would agree when you have no land, whatever you decide to pay at that time will be considered to be like his Ittis, because he's got no land anyway. You understand what I'm saying? So you could be Michalik and say, you know what? No, the two cases are completely different. Don't tell me, Rabbi Aryeh Leib Malin, that the whole Kasha is only according to who? It's only according to the Rush, Lomaisa, and not according to the Yeshomrim, and not according to the Ritva. It's not true at all. And I'll go the other way. I'll prove it the other way, Kimichalik, in the other direction. What do the Yeshomrim and the Ritva say? That you pay with the Bainanus. You know what they would say? Maybe they would say in a case where you have no what? Where you have no land, Halacha Lomaisa, it's not Shaykh to say pay with Bainanus. And maybe they would say what? Maybe they would say, when you have no land, maybe then you have to go after the Inus of the Mazik, and you bump them all the way up, and they have to go Inus of the Mazik. So I'm saying you can machalik in both directions. You follow what I'm saying? That's what I want to suggest. You understand what I'm saying? You don't necessarily have to say that the two cases are what? The two cases are comparable. Rabbi Eliyahu Malan says the whole kasha would be kivager. Why did the Gemara give a regular case where the Nizik has no land? Just say poshut. The Nizik has no land, and you bump him up. Oh, that kasha says only according to Rush you bump up. According to Yeshomrim in the Ritva, and I'm sorry, the Yeshomrim in the Rush in the Ritva, no way would we say such a thing. Why? I can machalik in both directions. Maybe the Yeshomrim and the Rush and the Ritva would say that where the guy has no land, maybe you do bump him all the way up. And the other way, the Rush, who says that what, you bump him up in the case where you have land, maybe when there is no land, you can pay whatever you want, because the guy's got no land. And that'll automatically be considered to be what? Like it is to the Nizik. You follow me? So that's what he wants to say. Halacha l'maisa, this Dvar Yaakov l'maisa. He says, whatever you pay bizman tashlumin, that will be considered it is to Nizik. So let's chazer over this whole second mahalach, yeah? Okay? You want to take with me? Let's chazer over the whole second mahalach. And then we'll go to the third mahalach. Second mahalach we're saying is what? We're saying that why did Gemara give this fancy case where the Nizik has, Ziboris, I'm sorry, the Mazik has Ziboris and Idis, and the Ziboris of the Mazik is not as good as the Idis of the Nizik. So what do? We bump them all the way up. Why do they work in such a fancy case? A Hani Krop Shuto, where the Nizik has no land. Poshut has no land at all. So obviously then you'll pay with the Meitav of the Mazik. Say a simple case. That was Rabbi Kiveyer's Kasha. Who else asked that Kasha? The Shidim Gubetz of Shem, the Gilyon on Zion, Gilyon Acher on Zion of the base, called Gilyon Acher. So what do we answer? We answered, said the Shidim Gubetz of Shem, the Gilyon Acher, it's Mashra that he has land. And we said, of course it's Mashra. It says Bir B'Stei Acher. Right? It says Bir B'Stei Acher. So obviously he has land. So how could the Gemara couldn't have given that proposal? Couldn't have given that example. So you said, that's such an obvious answer. What would be Kivager to go and ask him? So he said, the Gedulei Shmuel said, you know what he's asking? He's asking Dekel Aperosov, Sadel Aperosov. He owned the what? The fruit, but not the field. And when it said Bir B'Stei Acher, what did it mean? It meant, Lamai said, the fruit that was in that guy's field, but it wasn't my field. That was Rabbi Kivager's Kasha. So why did the Gemara give that case? Okay, that was his Kasha. The answer is, no, the Posit Mashra, you own not only the fruit, but also the field. Maybe you could say Rabbi Kivager's Kasha was something else. Maybe he had land at the time of the Hezek, but he sold it right afterwards. By the time of the collection, he had no land. Maybe that's what Rabbi Kivager meant. Couldn't be. Because Rabbi Kivager in Gittin says, Beferis, what's the clinching time? What do you look at? You look at the Shas Hezek. So that couldn't have been what Rabbi Kivager meant in this Kasha. Okay. Then the next Nakuda was Rabbi Yalei Malin asked, that whole Kasha Rabbi Kivager is only according to who? The Rush. The Rush says, you bump him up in the case of the Baininess. You can't pay with the Baininess. It's worth more. You still got to pay with it is. So Mamela, in the same case here, the Nizik has no land. So you should pay what the Mazik's it is. But if you hold like the what, Ritf and the Yeshomrim, what's the din? What do you say, Yonatan, if you hold like the Ritf and the Yeshomrim, the Rush? We said that, well, you do pay with Baininess. So what do you see? You see that it's possible to say you should be able to pay with what anything you want, right? If a guy has no land, and I can pay with Baininess when it's worth more than the Zibiris. So if a guy has no land, anything's better than nothing, so you can pay with the Zibiris. So Rabbi Yalei Malin says the whole cash is only according to who? Rabbi Yalei Malin says the whole cash is only according to who? Here, you have the Marmakaimus? Who's it only according to? The cash is only according to who? The Rush. Right? But not according to the Rift and the Yeshomer. It's not according to the Rift and the Yeshomer. Why not? Why is it not according to the Rift and the Yeshomer? Because anything is good. Pay with the Yosef virus. Guy has nothing. So what did the Varyakov come along and say? Did Varyakov come along and say a tremendous good? He says, I don't like the whole comparison of Rabbi Yalei Malin. That case is when the guy had land in Nizik. Yes? That case when the Nizik had land. What are we trying to propose here? Where the Nizik has no land. And I can machalik in both directions. This gets you really to think. He says, the Rush insists we only bump him up when what? When does he insist you bump him up? When the guy had land. Then you bump him up all the way to pay Yiddish. However, in a case where you have no land at all, you can pay whatever you want. So maybe you can pay whatever you want. Maybe at that time it's considered to be what? You go bust in the Tashlumen, and at that time that's considered to be Itis of the Nizik. When he has no land, you look at the land that is Mekabel Akshav, is Mana Tashlumen. And therefore what? And therefore we could suggest and say, Halach Lamaisa, that that Kasha Rabbi Kivager Lamaisa, we could talk about maybe he got land afterwards. If he got land afterwards, remember we said Bizmana Tashlumen, yeah? We don't look at the Zmana Tashlumen. We look at the what? But maybe you could say Lamaisa, when he has no land, you know what? I consider that to be, when he has no karka, we look at the karka as Mekabel Akshav, Bizmana Tashlumen. And he'll get, he had nothing. Now he gets something. So therefore that's considered to be Itis. Because for him he had nothing. So going from nothing to something, even though qualitatively it's Zibaris, but for him it's Itis. How do you machalik in the other direction? How would you machalik in the other direction? If you're a rich from the Yesh Shomer in the Rush, who says you bump in the Beinish Kepay, that's where he has land. But maybe where he has no land, maybe they would say what? No. You have to what? Be bumped all the way up to Itis and that's it. Right? The only time we say what? The only time you can say you can pay with the Beinish is when he had land Mishas Ezek. But when he has no land, Lamaisa, maybe the Ritva would say we go Busser Itis and the Mazik. Maybe the Ritva would be motor. You bump him all the way up. In that case, you pay Itis and the Mazik. So that's the second what? That's the second Mahalik I wanted you to see. Okay, you got it. So that's a very good thought that he's saying. You can be Mahalik in both directions, and that's what he means that you pay him whatever he wants, because now a guy goes from nothing to something. That'll be called Itis. That's the only piece of land you have. Maybe that'll be next to the Itis. Okay, now we go to the third Mahalach. Third Mahalach I want you to get was based on this Rabbi Kivager in Gittin, and let's get it. Points out something very interestingly. Rabbi Kivager in Gittin, in Memtesim and Bey, says, what do we hold according to Rabbi Shmuel? What does Rabbi Shmuel hold? Benenizik what? Benenizik Shaiminim, yes? That's only when what? That's only on the property you have at the time of the Hezek. Now I want you to get this. Why is that? You asked that before Nissen. Now we're answering your kasha. Why is it that the Nizik Shaiminim is only at the time that he has what? You know what? Because you know what the Nizik would do? He's a smart guy. He gets damaged. He's going to go ahead and buy new land. That's the most expensive parking lot in Manhattan. It's worth millions of dollars. And you've been a Nizik Shaiminim. And slam who? The Mazik. And the Mazik is going to have to pay that Maitav accordingly. Isn't that amazing?
Also, the other way, the damaged jerk, they just sell his land.
Similar. Okay. But you see, says Rabbi Kivager, good point. You see from Rabbi Kivager, you always look at the time of the Hezek. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, what about according to Rabbi Shmuel? What does Rabbi Shmuel say? I'm sorry, what does Rabbi Kiva say? Benenizik Shaimin or Mazik Shaimin? What is it? Mazik Shemini. Rabbi Kiva, because I'm not sure. By Rabbi Kiva, do you go Basu Shas Ezek or Bishas Hamada Bedin? Or you could add on Zman Tashlumen. What's a Nafkamina? The Nafkamina is what Nissen said. Let's say the Mazik buys property after the Hezek, before the collection, right? So what would you do in that case? I want you to get that down. Rabbi Kiva says definitely within Rabbi Shmuel, it's Shas Ezek. Within Rabbi Kiva, he says, I'm not sure. Rabbi Kiva is Mistopic. I'm not sure. Okay? That's why the second mile we were dealing with in Rabbi Shmuel, right? It was clear it was only Shas Ezek. But according to Rabbi Kiva, you can have a suffake. What's the din? So I want you to get this. What does Rabbi Shmuel mean when he says ben nizik shayminin? You look at the time of the Hezek. Yes? You look at the time of the Hezek. Because afterwards, what should make a difference? What should be your connection with the land you buy afterwards with this damage, right? But according to Rabbi Kivager, what's the suffake in Rabbi Kivager and Rabbi Kiva? Rabbi Kivager within Rabbi Kiva. What's the Savig Rabbi Kivager within Rabbi Kiva? Do you look at what? The damage? Or do you look at the time of the Tashlumen? What does it depend upon? I want you to get that. What does anyone remember what the two approaches to Meitav were? What were the two approaches to Meitav? Remember? It's a din in the what? Din in the Tashlumen or it's a din in the Guf Achiyuv? So what do you say? Plug it in, Nissen. What do you say? If it's what? If it's a din in Tashlumen, then what would you say? Then it's totally in the collection,
yeah.
Right? But if you say it's totally in the Guf Achiyuv, then it's totally at the time of what? The time of the Nizik. Correct. Well said. Now, that's how I want you to be maz with that. Please get it. So it works very beautifully. Those two approaches to Meitav. You know what? You follow me? But listen to this. What do we say according to Rabbi Shmuel? Why do we say according to Rabbi Shmuel that what? Shas Ezek. Because otherwise the guy's going to go buy something real expensive and the Maz is going to have to match that. I could slug that up. How could I slug that up? How would you slug that up? You know what? Because maybe the Mazik only Mazik is never chayv to go buy stuff.
So even if he buys the most expensive thing.
Well said. Get that down. He could buy the most expensive thing in Manhattan. We learned in the Tais, you're never forced to go buy stuff. You only have to do the stuff you had. So if he has it in his hand, that's fine. I understand, but if he has it in his hand, he'll have to pay it. You're right. But it won't be something that's totally exorbitant that he'll have to probably, that'll pay more. That means that you have to assume that Nizik's got a lot of cash on him. So he's very liquid. They have a lot of cash to buy even something more that the Mazik has. See, at least there's a stopgap. If the Mazik had that, then he's got to pay it.
Yeah, but not necessarily because he could buy, he buys the most expensive property. Let's say the guy only has really easy borders, he could buy something that's been on this and then get something that's been on it.
No, but we said you never have to go buy something you don't have.
No, I'm saying, let's say that the Nizek,
yes,
the damager, has something that's been on this, right?
Okay.
Let's say the person that got damaged only has the borders. He could just go buy a bane on this.
Well, Nizek is the guy that got damaged. The Mazik is the damager. Yes.
The Mazik has been on this. The Nizik doesn't. He only has the borders. He could just go buy some of his been on this and then he has to give it to him.
No, you only have to give what you have at that point. You only have to give it what you have at that point. The Mazik only has that point. So what we're asking is that the Nizik could go buy something expensive and he's got to match that, right? Remember we said that?
Yeah.
So I'm saying the answer is no. He doesn't have to ever go buy. He just has to pay according to what he has. Correct. Exactly.
So
that'll be right, but I'm saying we're not worried about. He's not. First of all, who says he's going to have so much more money than that? And that, therefore, there's a cap to it, and therefore it could very well be that in a chanami, if the mazik has in his hand at that time, even if the nizik bought it afterwards, maybe he'll have to pay it. That's what I'm saying. You hear what I'm saying? You could slug up that Rabbi Kivager's assumption. Rabbi Kivager said, "With definitely within Rabbi Shmuel, it's got to be shas ezek." Why is that? Why do you have to assume like that? Rabbi Kivager assumed like that. You follow me? Maybe you can slug that up. It's very sharp. You follow what I'm saying? Okay, and then the Chazon Ish points out, let's just get this Nakuda, and then we'll finish up the third mile, then we'll start Hanukkah. Chazon Ish points out that even according to Rabbi Shmuel, he says, Bizmana Hezek, let's say the Mazik doesn't have Idis to Nizik. Let's say a different case. Let's say the Mazik didn't have stuff that was equal, but he bought it after the damage. What would you say in that case? What would you say in that case? You follow me, Yonatan? The Mazik did not have Idis that equaled the Idis of the Nizik at the time of the Nizik, but he bought it afterwards. What would you think in that case? Definitely you got to pay, says Rabbi Shmuel, says the Chazon Ish. So you see that Shas Hezek again is not a what? It's not the linchpin. He says Dover Pasha that you'd have to what? You'd have to pay with that. Dafke if the Nizik bought, only if the Nizik bought land more expensive, then the Mazik doesn't have to go out and pay that. He just has to pay for Shas Hezek. But you can have a case where the Mazik, you follow me? The Mazik, Bishmana Hezek, didn't have the land. And then he goes ahead, right? He would be obviously not such a bright guy to do that. But if he did do it, he would have to what? He would have to pay. So it's if the Mazik didn't have land, he bought stuff afterwards, then he'd have to pay according to that if it equaled it is to the Nizik. But if the Nizik, Lamaisa, did not have, then obviously, Lamaisa, the Mazik wouldn't have to go out and pay. If the Mazik happened to have land that was equal to that new land that he bought, now we're suggesting maybe you'd have to pay it. Against that assumption, Rabbi Kivager. Okay, good. So let's chazer over this third Nakuda, and then we got to start the Hanukkah. Okay? We had it said that Rabbi Kivager says in Gittin, on Memtesim and Aleph, that according to Rabbi Shmuel, that says, Benizik Shaimin, and no doubt, we look at the land that the Nizik had, Bishas what? Bishas Hezek. Otherwise, the Nizik would go ahead and buy land that's more expensive, and the Mazik would have to match that. He could, you know, make him go bankrupt. So it's not fair. Whereas within Rabbi Kiva has a suffix. Do you look at the time of the Hezek? You look at the time of the collection. Shasab Hamad Abedin, which we said that suffix was totally on what? How you understand Meta? Is Meta Abedin in the Gviya, the Tashlumen? Then you look at the time of the collection. If it's Abedin, the Guf Achiv, then you look at the time of the Hezek, Halach Lomaisim. Whereas according to Mishmol, it's a Dar Pashin. You look at the time of the Hezek, because there's no shame Nezek Shame Nizik leniency out with the land that he bought after. What should they have to do with anything? That's what Rabbi Kivager assumed. But we said it's not so posh. It's not so posh. Why should Rabbi Kivager assume like that? Maybe what? Maybe you do let the Nizik buy more land. And if the Mazik had a quality of land that he bought, that the Nizik bought, maybe Taki should have to pay it. Who says not that way? Lamais, he doesn't have to go buy more land that's going to be more expensive than that. But if he has that land, maybe the Nizik, and who says that Rabbi Kivager is right? That was the challenge that we said. And then the Chazanish pointed out even more that according to Rabbi Shmuel, if the Mazik went out and bought more land after the damage that now equaled the itis of the Nizik, which he didn't have before, he'd have to pay it. Not a smart guy for doing that, but he'd have to pay it. However, if the Nizik bought land that was more expensive, then the Mazik doesn't have to go out and pay it, only the, according to the stuff that he had in Shas Hezik. Okay, so those are the three Mahalchim we wanted to do in Baba Kamet. Now we start in Yonei what? In Yonei Chanukah. Let's go, guys. Okay? Let's go, guys. Sorry to the fellows that aren't here, but, you know, what are you going to do? Torah must continue. It's their loss, you know. The Torah, the Moisa. We've talked about Kfiyas. I was just telling Yonatan before, you know, in my day and age, my Chaverim and I, we would do them almost even not the Mashir for a wedding. Now it's reached an engagement party, you miss. Talk about Dragas, right? For an engagement party. What do you do at an engagement party? Do nothing, right? Yeah, okay. But it's, you know, it's many months before you go to the end, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying, Yonatan. As we say, I'm Avin Yavin. Okay, let's go. Like says the Gemara. What'd you say?
Like 2 weeks to make it very quick.
Well, says the Gemara. Let's see the Gemara here. Tzvi, why don't you read the Gemara, okay? We had mentioned that the Chanukah is the Chag of Torah Shebaal Peh. It's only mentioned 9 times in Mishnayos. And it's only 3 blot on it. But let's see you beferish the Gemara inside, because a lot we got to see. Okay, go ahead. Turn
Rabbanan.
Okay, let's stop there. There are 3 levels. What does Nir Yishu Beso mean? Nir Yishu Beso means, and this is where Rav Zalman Nechemia was masbit to us, the mitzvah of Nir Chanukah is called a Chovas Abayis. You know what it's a lot like? It's a lot like the mitzvah of mezuzah. Mezuzah is a chov on the bayis. So Nir Chanukah in the same vein is a chov on the bayis. Okay? It's a very unique mitzvah. Now, I want you to get this down. That is why you must light in your house. The Taz writes that if you attend a Chanukah party at someone else's home and you light there, you are not Yotze. It's not your house. It's ridiculous. There are 2 ways when you go to someone else's home that you could light there. You could either be mishtaket bepruta, which the Gemara says on the next, on Chof Gimel of an Aleph, you give a quarter or a dime. We'll discuss that in a few minutes. Or you could sleep over. And sleeping over will make it like your house for that night. And you could bring your own chanukiah and light. One of the two. Okay? But if you do what the Taz says, that people attend these Chanukah parties, they light by a Chanukiah, and they leave, there is no way they're the Yotze. And where does it come from, guys? Nir Yishu Beso. Beso means it's got to be your own personal home. And if it's not your personal home, you are not going to be Yotze. That's why Poshtus is, if you're lighting at a wedding, you're not Yotze. You don't own that wedding hall. It's not your house. You're not sleeping there. This is a big pell and a light at the... You shouldn't light there. You have to light in your home. So, how does this germane to us very practically? The guys who live in New York or New Jersey, let's say they want to go home Thursday night. This might be the only time in your lives that you'll own 2 homes. You own, you don't own it, but you live in your home by your parents and you rent the dorm. So on Thursday night, let's say you want to go home. No problem, because you own both places through renting here of the dorm and through your parents living there. So there's no problem if you light here Thursday night and go home, because it's your home. But if you want to be a guest by someone's house on Shabbos Chanukah, you only have 2 choices, not your house. So either you're mishtate papruta, or you'll sleep over and you can bring your own chanukiah. Mishtate papruta means you give him a quarter and you don't light yourself, you become a partner in his lighting. Or you can bring a chanukiah yourself, but it's from the requirement of what we call a bias. 1 second, okay? And 1 second, Yonatan. Now, the Ramah makes a statement here that states, in Hilchos Shabbos, he says, Ein Mavui Bizman Hazeh. The Ramah writes, you know what a Mavui is? We had that in Sukkah last year. Ein Mavui Bizman Hazeh. Yeah. So that is a big statement. There's a big machlokes Chazon Ish. Let's get this down, guys, so you remember it. Chazon Ish through Brisker Rav. Maybe I should put this on the Bechina, even without Chazarin. Even without Chazarin for the guys who aren't here. Huh? So it says what? Ein Mavui Bizmanazeh. Machlokes Chazon Ish. Rak Din Behilchos Shabbos. O Afilu Behilchos Chanukah. Meaning to say that if you want, say this, Allah, even in Hilchos Chanukah, how do you lighten the lavi and more? There's no mavui bismanazeh. The lavi is like a mavui. But we don't assume that it relates to you. Because we have no mavui bismanazeh. So therefore you're lighting, it's not your house, like you're lighting in the middle of the street. So that's what Shechter holds. He held that this statement of the Ramah applies not only to the Shabbos, there's no mavui bismanazeh, but applies also to Hilchos Chanukah. That's why he always suggests that you should go home. What do you do if you're not a towner? Can't go home. So that's why we assume that this statement is only limited to Hilchos Shabbos, Yair. Ein lana mavui bismanazeh, and therefore what? Chanukah, we still retain the shame mavui. Every time you go to your dorm room, you walk through the lobby. In Reuben, the same thing, or over here in Mus. And therefore, and if you don't buy Mus, you should do it at least during Chanukah to make it as if you're using that. And therefore, it becomes what? Related to you, and therefore it's like your bias. Okay? So that's the Chiddush I want you to get in. It's just Stam. You don't know what you stop quote things without knowing. That's not a Talmud Chacham. You want to know based on the Makor, so what's it based on? And it flows from this din called Nir Ish Ubeison. Yes, Yehuda, and then Yonatan. Yeah, go ahead.
What would you do in a case of, if you're in a, there's certain kinds of apartments that you don't own your actual apartment, you own like shares of a building.
Same thing, as long as you, as long as you live there, not a problem. You're renting? Yeah, as long as you're renting, that's not a problem. You don't have to have full bialis on it. No problem at all. Skiris is kanyan.
And also, if you are going to let it go on a Thursday night, is it better to light by your house? Or is it
no, no preference at all. There's absolutely no preference. No preference at all. None at all. Because you have the bias. Only time you got to do that is when you want to make it into your bias. Yes, Yonatan, go ahead.
So you said that like you could either give like a corner or something for staying for like shop for like the Shabbos on your own. Is it better to do one or the other?
I don't think there's a preference either way. I don't think there's a preference either way. You know, some guys like to always light themselves, so you could light yourself. But you have to make sure you're sleeping there. Let's say I don't know, you're a guest and you're eating by the family, but you're sleeping somewhere else. That's not good. You got to sleep in that home to make it your home. Okay? Yes, Nissen. Even though you missed the Somahal, go ahead.
What's the better option if you're going to be somewhere for Shabbos? You should also Thursday night and sleep there Saturday night. So it's 3 days, let's say?
No, there's no such concept like that. No.
It doesn't make a difference.
If you're going to be a guest at someone's home, either you're Mishtatev for Pruta, or you sleep over, makes your home, and you can light with your own Chanukiah. If you're Mishtatev for Pruta, you don't bring your own thing, you just light. Because then it would be a Bracha Latala. You follow me, you don't have to give him a quarter, you're Yotzer in with him, and then you light on your own, say a Bracha, that's a Bracha Latala. It's either one or the other.
And does the Mishtatev have to be there?
Yeah, of course.
I'm saying let's say he sleeps there, but does he have to be there when you light? To say it means the Bracha, or as long as he...
I don't understand what you mean. What's the case?
Like a Sephardi.
Are you visiting someone's house?
No, let's say a Sephardi, right?
We didn't get to the Shita yet, so I don't know. Let's get to the Shita. Yeah, go ahead, Ab.
If you're sleeping in someone else's house, is it better to bring your own menorah, or you should let, or they can borrow one of theirs, it doesn't matter?
Oh, you mean...
Like, if you're going to light yourself and you're going to someone else.
Yeah, it's better to bring your own oil. If you're going to bring your own oil and candles, you're going to borrow from them, you got to buy it from them. You should buy it from them. Absolutely. You should own it. Absolutely. But that'll be not Mishtat the Krutim. Mishtat the Krutim become a partner with his light. Okay. All right, so that's the first Kiddush I want you to get of Chovas Abayis. Okay. Two other Nafkaminas. Please get them.
Rabbi, what did Brisk Rav say?
The Brisker Rav, I know I always forget which one says what. I think the Brisker Rav said it's limited of Shabbos. I think. Okay, I always forget who said what. But it's a Machlokes deal, limited only of Shabbos, because he's saying ain Mavui. So is that only a statement of Shabbos, but a Chanukah, there is a Mavui, so that's good for us. Or did he mean, even by Hilchos Chanukah, then we're in trouble. Then how do you light? You can't light the room, it's a fire day. Fire hazard. Okay? All right. Two other Nafkamiyas I want you to get from this phrase, Nir Ish Ubeison. And I want you to note this, that my friend Nachman Masaryk pointed out, I never saw this inside, but Rav Shach Zatzal writes in the Sefer Avi Ezri, I want you to get this down, that the Machaber does never quotes Nir Ish Ubeison. He leaves it out. He leaves it out. These are the three levels from the Gemara. For some reason, Shkorov leaves out. And it was very very distressed or shocked about it. What happens if someone only has one candle, no matter what night it is? Nirishu Beso, guys, means I don't care how many members in your household. You have 1,000. I don't care what night it is. You light one candle, that's the base view. Near Ishu Beso. That is the base view. You follow me? So it's strange why the Mechaber leaves it out. So he wanted to develop this theory that the hit or miss became institutionalized. Kind of like what we said with Roadside Sheeple last week, that Hanukkah is idealism. Look how he lives. The Chag of Torah Shabbat Peh. That's why you don't want to make, you want to be Marbier learning in Hanukkah. You don't want to decrease. You know, so that's why the Ramah says no Chiyuv Suda on Hanukkah, but you can make it a mitzvah by singing. Right? Because they try to kill us spiritually. So the Maram Ruberg, there's no physical meal of a Suda. On Purim, they try to kill us physically. There's a mitzvah of a Suda, physical mitzvah. But the Ramah says if you spiritualize your Suda, then you can be into the mitzvah by singing. You could have a Suda's mitzvah on Hanukkah. But Lamaisa, certainly to learn much more, Lamaisa, the Chag of Torah Shabbat Peh. So what I want to bring out is that Lamaisa, what were we saying? Oh, so Rav Shach says it became into the Mechaber didn't even want to teach the base level because he wants you to do Mahajan. Came so institutionalized. There's a second level, a third level we don't have anywhere else. So that's why the Mechaber left it out. Interesting. Okay?
It's not like hard for like the
Yeah, but Lamaisa, we're going to see, Yonatan, that we try to subsidize even for hit or miss for the poor. Okay. So what's the nafkamina? The Mechaber quotes about Iter. The shame about Iter. Amazing Kiddush. I remember Zalman the Chamin was masber this. Katan, Shigil Achinach. A Katan, Shigil Achinach. A Katan, Shigil Achinach. Kimimotsi, as Kol Abayis. Kibimotsu, the whole house. It's called Abayis. Okay? Kibimotsu, the whole household. How is that possible? Because he's a never Kibimotsu, a gadol, ever. Even if it's a mitzvah rabbanan. What's the answer? It's not a din on the gavra. If it's a din on the gavra, then you have that kasha. How can a cut be motzi a gadol? But if the din in the bayis, the din is what? You need someone who has to be in the parsha. As long as he knows what's going on, he's a gila chinuch. Then he's a talented boy, he's a smart boy, he knows the halachas, so therefore he could what generate this remote to the whole household. You mean a young girl?
No, that cuts in that.
Definitely a woman.
Or a woman.
A woman definitely can, no doubt.
That's
a woman. We know women are chayv afa yuboso anes. Gemara says later on, Shubin Levi. And she can be most even her husband, no doubt. Yeah, women are equally mechuyev as a man. Okay, but what I'm just saying to you is that Lamaisa, they have an equal chiyuv as a man, so that's a double pashut. Maybe he was contrasting to other mitzvahs. But there's no doubt a woman could what? See, Ishto Kegufa Mishabrus is a man, is Motzi's wife, so they both don't have to light. Let's say the guy's on a business trip, like a lot of guys he asked me in shul, so the woman can light for him on his behalf. Women can light for him on his behalf. He can't light. You can't light in the hotel room. But you know what I suggested? I want you to get this down. Electric menorah. Electric Hanukkiah. If you have electric Hanukkiah, you plug it in and you say the bracha. You didn't say the bracha, the bracha that you said. And then you twist it. So in the hotel room, you'd be arrested if you lit a candle, right? But you can bring an electric menorah. So in the case of an electric menorah, like a woman, someone asks you, God forbid, a woman's in a hospital, she can do an electric menorah. Now, the guy was on a business trip. I said, buy an electric menorah, just do it without a bracha, because your wife's going to light for you anyway. It's his house. He's renting it. He's paying for the hotel room, or his businesses, but that's where he's living. So the only way they can understand that, once you get these nafkaminas down about peso, we had a bunch of nafkaminas down. It's got to be your house, the Hanukkah party. If you own the two houses, right? The fact that the Mechaber, or Shach points out, the Mechaber leaves out near Shu Beso. And let's get it down so you remember them. Right, Lamaisa Nafkaminas. And also the country Gilakun is Motsubo Hasso. Another Nafkamina, why don't you get this down?
What should you do if, let's say, the man comes on late from work, the woman might have had him earlier?
There's got to be people up. There's got to be people up.
Let's say he's going to come home at 8 o'clock. So obviously people have
they can light together then. But if he's coming at 11 when no one's up, it's not good, okay?
Yeah.
You should do it earlier, Lamaisa. So 8 o'clock's fine. She can wait for him at 8 o'clock. But he's coming home 11:30. She should light his proper smile on behalf of him.
Okay.
And then when he comes home, no one's up. Remember we said, you can only see without a bracha. Remember, no one else. No one's on the street. Yeah. But we said, presume you for the guys inside. Everyone's sleeping. Mm-hmm. So he said the Magen Avraham said you wouldn't have to light it all. So he said, Rav Moshe argued, remember? So you say you would light it without a bracha. Yes, go ahead, Yudah. What do you say?
For the coming back to what we said
about the light to go, can you be yotzer of that? Like, yes, 100%. But it's got to be fluorescent. I'm sorry. It cannot be fluorescent. Not the LCD. It's got to be a filament, like the old light bulbs. Not fluorescent LCD. I think those old electric menorahs are fine. They're a filament. They're not the... Okay, what's another nafkamina? Another nafkamina I want you to get from this. Very fascinating. Because I didn't tell you before, if you're mishtapta b'pruta, what are your partners in? What have you become partners in?
In the list.
I couldn't hear you. When you're a guest at someone's home, you give the guy a quarter, what do you become a partner in? Ownership of what?
Candle.
Candle or the oil? That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Very good. Mishnah Berurah says, Shutfus and the Shemin. Shutfus, the Shemin. I want you to listen very carefully to this kasha the Rav asked on the Mishnah Berurah. Listen to this. Okay, that's the way the Mishnah Berurah says. You become a partnership nissen. Let's get this down in the what? Let's get this down in the candles. And remember what we said. Dikra is the learning, right? Yeah? Right? Let's get it down so you remember it. You become a partnership in the candles or the oil? Yeah? We have a bam kasha, the Rav said on the Mishnah Berurah. There's a principle above Metziah called Memvavim Beis Reb Yochanan Ma'os Einan Konos. What does that principle mean? What are the two types of articles a person can buy in the world of halacha? Chesh Mishpah. Karka. How do you buy karka? Real estate. Three kinyanim. Kesef, Shtar, Chazaka. Both the rights that are bought. Kesef's money. Shtar's given over to Dak. What's Chazaka? Three things. Either you dig a fence, either you build a fence, dig a ditch, or walk around. Now, what do you do for movables? Metalcholim. Kesef only works from Yeraisim.
Shtar.
Midrabbanan, they got rid of it. Shtar does not work from Metalcholim. Why does Kesef not work, Midrabbanan? Why did they get rid of it? First of all, how can Midrabbanan get rid of something that's Yeraisim? That's the principle in Chesha Mishpah. Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. When it comes to Din Imamunus, the Rabbanan have governing rights. So Rabbanan can get rid of what? Can get rid of the Din Yeraisim. So what's the what? What's the Din Yeraisim here?
Paying with money.
The Din Yeraisa said, money, what will buy an automobile? But Midrabbanan, they got rid of it. Why'd they get rid of it? Well, listen to this. Let's say I give Mr. X. I give Mr. X $1,000. I buy 30 bushels a wheat from him. I say, I'll pick it up in 3 weeks. Then a fire happens in his silo. He's not going to try to save it. Why is he not going to try to save it?
Because you bought it. It's yours.
Because why?
He sold it.
It's not. It's mine, so you could care less. Let it burn. So what are the Chachamim worried about that? What'd they say? Are you cold?
I'm good here.
You want the heat? You want to close the window? Close the window. So in other words, what's the din? Nisrifu chatecha
ba'aliyah.
So the Chachamim said what? You do not own it until I what? Until I do a mashiach on it. Or I do hakbah. Money is not work. Because I'm going to write down the gzerah. Shema Nisrafu Chatecha Ba'aliyah. I'm afraid that what the wheat's going to get burnt in the attic, and therefore what's the din? I'll be out of it. So come say it's not mine until I do a mashiach. That'll motivate the guy to what? To save it. Yes?
Is that the same thing with
Shtar? No, Shtar, the Gemara says, the Metalcholim not b'nei Shtar anim.
Okay.
Gemara has a different reason why, but it's a good kasha. Talpilin is not good b'shtar. So what are kind of kinyanim are good with talpilin? Hagbah, Meshicha, Mesira. So the Rav asked on the Mishnah Berurah. I don't understand. You go to someone's house, Shabbos Hanukkah. You give him a quarter to become a partner in what? Yonatan said the oil. Nissim said the wax. Those are talpilin. How does it work?
So
it's a bomb kasha. Mos and then konos.
So then how would a katan be able to do it? How do you be able to, you would never, we said he said that a
katan can be most also because the chumash habayis.
A
katan
can't be. He can't apply. So he's going to be
mishtatik
with him. Let's say I can't be
mishtatik
with a
katan
because he can't.
Well, this is all. This is the rabbanan. Katan can make
kinyanim
and the
rabbanan. Okay.
No problem. Putos.
Okay.
Mark it in Samach Aleph. It says putos of the 8, 7, 8, 9. You're this kasha. One sec, you. You're the kasha.
It's
Yair, I'll say it again. How do you save money is going to be able to work to become a partner of the Shemin and the candles? Those are movables. There's only two things in the world of halacha: real estate and movables, what you can buy. So money doesn't work. So the Rav asked the Mishnah Berurah, "I'm kasha. You hear the kasha? You hear? It's a great kasha. What do you accomplish when you give them the quarter?" So the Rav argued. The Rav Zatzal says, "No, I disagree with you, Mishnah Berurah. You know what we become partners in? The bias. And the bias is like karka. And karka is good with kesed." I said, "Rabbanon. Whoa, amazing." You become shutvin, but bias. Now, you've got an $800,000 house. Guy gives you a quarter. He becomes a part owner in the house, at least for the night of Hanukkah. But not forever, but for the night of Hanukkah.
That would only work if the Baal of the house is there. If not, how?
Yeah, of course the Baal of the house has got to be there, Mishnata, to prove.
Why? You can't be Mishnata with someone that's not the Baal?
No, unless he appointed an agent. He has to appoint an agent. You go to someone's house for Shabbos, he's got to be there to Mishnah to prove, or he gives an agent.
Does it matter who actually owns the house? Or
no, but the guy's got to be there.
As long as someone lives in that house, it doesn't matter if they actually own it?
Yeah, he has to be renting or owning. They have to be there, Ramos. When you go to someone's house for Shabbos, it's either a guy who's living there owns it or rents it. And then you give him money, Mishnah to prove.
No, my question is let's say legally the man owns the house, the wife doesn't hold that, or opposite though. Legally, the
wife. But she represents the man.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
As long as there's a representative. But the Rav argued on the Mishnah Berurah and says you become shutvin in the bias. You follow me? That's against the Mishnah Berurah. Oh, so how are we going to answer the Mishnah Berurah? Rav Warman Zatzal writes in the Sefer, the Great Gaon. He writes that the Sefer on the bottom, there's a parish in the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch Hoshen Mishpat called the Kesef Kadoshim. The Kesef Kadoshim says, "Btzorech mitzvah ma'amid al din teir." What is ma'amid al din teir? What do we say? That the Rabban and the Chacham said, "Molos are ain't in konos." No, but for the tzorech of the mitzvah, you suspend the takanos Chachamim of Shemini Shukatachim. You go back to the Diraisa, and therefore Molos are konos. Even if it's for a mitzvah of the Rabbanan, like Hanukkah. You hear what I'm saying? That's what the Mishnah Berurah responded back to the Rav.
For what do you suspect that?
For any mitzvah, Yonatan. Even a mitzvah of the Rabbanan, like Hanukkah. You might have said maybe for a mitzvah of the Arise, but no, even for a mitzvah of the Rabbanan. Chum said, "Hey Mamru, Hey Mamru." Meaning they made the takana, they'll tell you when not to say it. And if it's for the sake of a mitzvah, even a mitzvah of the Rabbanan, you go back to the din of the Arise. And what's the din? The din is that Kesef Taka works. But you see how important the skinish of Nir Yishu Beso is. With Masbros, how much you need the house, that the Hanukkah party wouldn't be good. You either have to be shtatim or pruto or sleep over. A cut and shigil can be most of the household. And the and what is the mechanics of shtatim or pruto? According to the Rav, it's literally a chovas abayis. Wow. But Shabura says no. And therefore, that's why in the Rosh Hashanah said Nir Yishu Beso was left out because it was institutionalized. But I want you to know the base chiyuv. You must know this. Nir Yishu Beso. Okay? All right, that's number one, Svi. Excellent. Everyone got that? That's what the Nerish would base on. All right, very good. Next one, go ahead. Wow, what does Mahajan mean?
Hither.
Each person has to be represented with one candle. I don't care what night it is. You guys got to know what each one means clear, not just stomp. Mahajan means each member of the household has to have one candle, no matter what night it is. Let's say you have 8 members of your household on the 5th night. What does that mean? There'll be each one will have 8. It will be one candle, 8 Chanukiyot, and each one will have only one candle. Correct. That's all. Each person must be represented in the Anshe Bayis. That's what Mahajan means. Read the Rashi there. Tzvi Nir Yishu
Beso. Nir Yishu Beso. Nir Echa B'chol Laila B'Ishachol B'nei Beso Sagi Lahen B'nei
Sagi Lahu.
Like,
there it is, Beferish. All you need is one candle. Go ahead, Mahadrin.
Mahadrin. Acher mitzvah, osin ner echa b'chol layla, b'chol echa v'echa b'bnei habayis.
What does Mahadrin achra mitzvah mean? Strange Rashi. What do you mean, Mahadrin achra mitzvah? What on earth does Rashi mean when he says achra mitzvah? What does Mahadrin achra mitzvah mean? What does that mean, Mahadrin achra mitzvah? That means like Zrizin Makdim La Mitzvahs, and you should look after Mitzvahs. Mahadrim is look after. Why does Rashi say Mitzvahs? You know what I'm asking? Rujulti asked this kashin to say for. We're only talking about the Mitzvah of Chanukah. Why would he say Achar Mitzvahs? Natan, you have the Gemara there in front of you? Mahadrim Achar Mitzvahs. Why does Rashi say Achar Mitzvahs? It's a pelu this Rashi. Talk about the Mitzvah of Chanukah. What are you Mahadrim Achar Mitzvahs? So Rav Zulti wants to say Pshat and Rashi. We're going to get this in Tosis, God willing, Rabbi Chananel. He wants to say the Hiddur Mitzvah of Chanukah was patterned after the Hiddur Mitzvah Kol Torah Kulu. What's the makor of Hiddur Mitzvah Kol Torah Kulu? Zekeli and Vaveya. This is my God and I glorify Him. According to one day in the Gemara, that's called Hiddur Mitzvah. The other day it says you have to imitate Hashem's ways. Mahu Rachum Avatarachum. Mahu Mavakarachum Matam Vakarachum. Mahu Menachem Avatam Menachem. Mahu Babishurum Avatam Babishurum. You have to imitate, emulate Hashem in the mitzvahs. Gemara and so the Davi Dal Manal. But we say they like the sheet that says Ezekiel and Avu is beautifying the mitzvahs. Say for Torah Noah, Luluf Noah, right? Sitzes Noah. So Tzuka Noah. So the says of Zulti, you know why Rashi said the word mitzvahs? It was to tip us off to say, to indicate to us, a flag to us, that Hiddur Mitzvah by Chanukah is patterned after the Hiddur Mitzvah called Torah Kulu. That's why Itaka said mitzvahs. That's why he says mitzvahs. Correct. That's why Rashi says mitzvahs. Now we're going to see how Taisa and Rabbeinu Chananel how follows as well. You know what? I'll look at the Rabbeinu Chananel right away. You see there I underline? Go ahead, Tzvi. What does Rabbeinu Chananel say? What on earth is Rabbeinu Chananel quoting that Gemara for? Rabbeinu Chananel is a Rishon. It's a great tzaddik. What is he quoting in Baba Kama? Rishon is Bekiyas? Oh, correct. He's trying to indicate to us, very good at it. That's what Zulti, just like you said in Rosh, Rabbeinu Chananel, the same Svara. He wants to indicate to us, Yonatan, that Hiddur Mitzvah by Chanukah is patterned after Hiddur Mitzvah called Torah Kulu. What's the din of Atshlish? Milvar or Milgaf? Let's say you have an Esther that's worth $6. What's a third of six? Two. 6 + 2 = 8. If the market is $6 Esther, buy an $8 one. The other sheet that says Milgav, Milvar means what? In other words, you add an extra half. How many halves are in six? 3 + 3. Add another half. Spend $9. Now, is Hiddur Mitzvah D'oraisa D'Rabbanan? Machlokes is Rosh Ravid. Is the institution of Hiddur Mitzvah D'oraisa D'Rabbanan? But might have to mean it. Whether you have to spend 9 or 8. If it's D'oraisa, spend 9. If it's D'Rabbanan, you spend 8.
Where's that?
Now, it's a Baba Kama Tesimim Beis, Ar Masechta. So why is Rabbeinu Chananel quoting the Gemara Baba Kama and Shabbos Chaval to show his Bekiyas? He was a tzaddik. He wasn't a Balgaiva. He wants to show you that the Hiddur Mitzvah Chanukah is patterned after the Hiddur Mitzvah Kol Torah Kulu. It's the same duke we had in Rashi, we say Rabbeinu Chananel. Truth is, it's really strange because it's really more than that if you think about it. If you think about it, right, base level is only one candle. By the eighth night, you're doing it times eight. It's more than a shlish. No? That's a difficult problem.
Unless it's per candle, unless it's per night.
What'd you say?
Unless you go by per night.
What do you mean per night? The amount of money I got to spend. I only have to spend money one candle. It costs $1. Now, on the eighth night, I got to spend 8 candles. It's $8 times 8.
No, because we look at each night of lighting as a separate. It's under one mitzvah, but it's separate mitzvahs.
I understand. So I understand. What I'm saying is, though, every night, I can just light one candle. It's enough. But Mahajim requires me to light 8. So I'm saying, at the end of the day, I'm shelling out more money. It's really more than 8 or mitzvah shlish.
Not the first night.
I understand, but the other nights.
Yeah, the other
night. Okay. Okay, but I'm saying the other nights,
yeah, okay.
The first night, how do you fulfill a Hiddur Mitzvah? You're really not, no? You're not.
Unless you spend 9 instead of 8.
Well, if you think about it, Nissan, it's not really true. There are two types of Hiddur Mitzvah. On the actual one that you're going to light, the Chanukiah,
yeah.
But then if you start multiplying according to people in your home, that already is a different type of Hiddur Mitzvah, right? So you could say I'm fulfilling Hiddur Mitzvah, every member in my home is going to light tonight, right? So my wife, she lights with me, right? But my daughter's light. So maybe that's a form of Hiddur Mitzvah. It is a form of Mahajit. Let's get to the Chiyuv. But I'm just pointing out Rabbeinu Chananel has this Chiddush. Yeah, what do you say?
How is it that they're saying that you're modeling it after the other Hiddur Mitzvahs? Because by the other Hiddur Mitzvahs, like an Esrog, you're just buying a nicer Esrog. Here you're actually changing the nature of of the maisa.
Okay, it's a good kasha, Adam. Let's see. We're going to see. We're going to see, God willing. It's a good kasha. Very good. Okay, let's go on to the next level. And we'll get the answer to your kasha. Very good. Go ahead. What's the second level? No, you skip. I'm a hajin, min ma hajin.
Sorry, hajin, min ma hajin. Beshamay omer, yom rishon malik, shmonik, mikan veilich.
Kan veilich, pokas waholich.
Beshamay omer, yom rishon malik, echas, mikan veilich, most of the holich.
Exactly. Okay, you got it? So what is mahajin, min ma hajin going on?
The way you like.
No, but what would you say? You have three levels. Nirish Beis Mahajan, Mahajan Min Mahajan. I would think the third level modifies the what? The second level. No, I would. Why would you think that? Right? Wouldn't you think it would be a progression? Take a look at Tosis, guys. Look at that. Mahajan Min Mahajan. This is an amazing thing. A lot of people don't understand it. I'm going to say it outside first. You know what Tosis says? The third level cannot be modifying the second level. It's impossible. Because I'll take a very good example. Let's say, eighth night of Hanukkah. If you hold near your shubes, so how many candles do you have to light? And there's 10 people in your house, eighth night.
So light one.
One. Excellent. One candle, that's it. What's Mahajan mean? Each guy would have to light one candle. What does Mahajan mean to Mahajan mean? Everyone would what? No, if Mahajan Mahajan would go back on a Mahajan, what would happen?
Everyone light one.
Everyone would light what?
One. Oh no, everyone.
No, Mahajan and Mahajan would be the what? Eight. Everyone would light eight candles. Ten times eight is 80. Right? Because Mahajan goes back and modifies what each guy's incrementing. Each guy's got an increment according to the night. Yes? Let me ask you. You have a guy walking on the street. You think he's going to know what night of Hanukkah is? He sees 80 candles. He doesn't know what night it is. It's felt. Felt means in Yiddish, it's lacking in the Pesumanisa. That means it's lacking in the Hiddur. I want to beautify this mitzvah so that it can be publicized well, clear, precisely. Clear as glass. If you light 80, you're not going to have that. So you know what Tosis says? Mahajan Mahajan cannot go back on Mahajan. Must go back on Nirei Shubeso. And therefore, what do you do?
Okay.
That one candle you increment for the whole household, and that the 10 members in the household, how many candles are you going to have? One Chanukiah with eight. And what does that do, Yonatan? Please get this. It precludes you from fulfilling Mahajan. Meaning Mahajan, Min Mahajan precludes you from fulfilling the second level. Because if you like the second level, it's going to mess it up. People are going to know why don't you just say, oh, you know what? Do one Chanukiah with eight, and then let everyone else be represented with one candle. It's still going to mess people up. People are going to still see one candle. One candle here, one candle here, and one with eight. They're not going to know. You follow me? So Tulsa stands on his head and says, Mahajan, Min Mahajan must preclude you from fulfilling Mahajan. And it goes back on what? Nirishu Beso. Why? So Adam basically asked very good, why? He said, Rebbe, why that so? So I want to share with you a Rashi and Yuma on Daf Ayin Amar Aleph. Rashi and Yuma on Daf Ayin Amar Aleph says that during the times of the Beis HaMikdash, on Yom Kippur, everyone who had their own personal Sefer Torah would come to the Azara with their own personal Sefer Torah. And you know what they would do? They would open up the Sefer Torah and they would show it to everyone. Kidei laharos chazuso l'rabin. You follow me? In order to show its beauty to the public. In order to show its beauty to the public. Each guy's own Sefer Torah, they wanted to show it, open it up, and show how beautiful it was to everybody. You follow me? Why? So you know what Rashi says? I'm going to read it to Rashi inside. You know what Rashi says? Zeh keli van beyu. What does the word zeh mean?
This
means visually I can see it. I can point to it. Like the Gemara has an antinous that the tzaddikim in the future will dance around a Kodesh Baruch Hu and say zeh negivin schavo. Zeh means this, I can see it. Do not fulfill hiddur mitzvah if it's not visually clear and pure and pristine that it cannot be seen. That is Rashi's definition of hiddur mitzvah. If hiddur mitzvah is patterned after hiddur mitzvah called Turku, like who? Like Rashi, like Rabbi Nachmanano, and not now like Tosfos. If you walk by and see 80 candles, you're not going to know what night it is. That's why. That's what forced Tosfos to stand on his head and say, that it's going after Nir Shubeso. And by doing that, you preclude your fulfillment of who? The second level of Mahajan. You got this, Clor? No more games anymore. This is the Clor cut. You follow me? This is you make sure you got it, Clor. You got it? It's time you've been knowing this all up. Now you want you to know exactly what it means. I'm going to read you the Rashi. It's unbelievable, Rashi. Let's get it down. Ayin Amin Aleph in Masechus Yumi. Here we go. Says the Gemara. Amazing. It says the following. Tanu Rabbanan Shark Tefila Rina V'Tchina V'Bakashim L'Fanechal Amchus Shosh Tzrichim L'Oshia V'Chosim M'Shem Tefila V'Arakah Kolecha Lecha Maybe Sefer Torah Mebeiso V'Koribo Kedei La'aros Chazuso L'Rabim. Everyone brings a Sefer Torah from his house who has one, and they read the Sefer Torah, show its beauty to everyone. So Rashi, Laharos Chazus Solorabim, Laharos Benoyo Shal Sefer Torah, Fitiferes Baleh, and the crown to its owner, Shetarach Lisnaos Ben Mitzvah, that he troubled himself to make his mitzvah beautiful. Shenemar Zeki Levan Veyu, Hasna Lafana Ben Mitzvah Slulav, Noah, Sefer Torah Noah, Beklaf Noah, Bidyo Noah, Lavavar Uman, Mirav Yom Kippur, Mivim Sham. They didn't carry it in Kippur, so they bought it before. Rashi says, Befer Zeh has to be visually seen. You follow me? It's amazing. Chiddush, no? I'll bring you a riot to it. Are you familiar with the concept called Sirtut? What is Sirtut? When a sofer writes a Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzah, they used to underscore. You heard of that, Yonatan? Sirtut? They actually put a blade. If you look closely at Sefer Torah, you can see the line. They put a blade so they'll write neatly. It's called sirtut. Is there a din sirtut by tefillin, says Rabbeinu Tam? No. Why? Because you don't see the cloth. It's not visually seen. Sirtut is based on hiddur mitzvah, says Rabbeinu Tam. And since you can't see the cloth by tefillin, mezuzah, you have it. Because even though we roll it up, but strictly speaking, you should be able to see the mezuzahs. Times of the Gemara, they would spread out the cloth on the door. Sefer Torah also, it's visually seen. But by tefillin, which you can't see it, there's no requirement of hiddur mitzvah. Follow me? That's what Rabbeinu Tam says in Menachos Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. By tefillin, there's no sirtut. So that's exactly what we're driving at here. That's why I tell you, let's see the Tais inside. Go ahead, so you read it inside now. Okay? Now it'll be easy for us to see inside. Mahadrin, Minna Mahadrin, go ahead.
Mahadrin,
Minna Mahadrin. Nira Lari. Read there is a reason. Right? Right? Wow. Beshama Beis Hillel are going on the first level. Kaimi means they're only talking when they see Madran and going on near Yishu Beis Hillel. Shekain.
Shekain is Yosir Hinder.
Yosir Hinder. Dika Kera, there's a recognition. Kishamosif.
Dika Kera, Kimosif Vaholif.
That when you add on, oh what?
Mechaser.
Shukineged. Whether you diminish, you add on according to the days that are entering, days that are leaving. Aval. Leke Kera, there's no recognition. Shizbru. Because you're going to think that they're what? So let's say you light Lamaisa, you know, one Chanukiah with eight. And then you have, let's say, five members. So each other member, right, the four other guys are going to light one candle. People are not gonna, you know, people are not gonna know what night it is. There's no akera. Sheizbu shekach sheish bnei other advice. They're gonna think there's such and such people in the house, right? And therefore lomaisa, they're gonna think that each one's, you know, lighting on their own. Maybe it's all one candle, and it'll get mixed up. There's even if you have one chanukiah and there's separate candles, people still gonna get confused. They'll think there's 12 people in the house and there's 12 candles. They're not gonna know what night it is. So you need a chanukiah that only has eight, and that's it. I don't need individual chanukiah with one candle in it. That'll offset everything. You follow me? That's what he means when he says, Leke Kerish Yizbru Shikach Yizbinam. They'll think there are 12 people in the house. Not that it's one chanukiah that has eight, and there's four other members that have one candle. Just like the 80 candle thing will be all mixed. People won't recognize it. So that's what Tysus means. Okay, we got that, Clor? So that's the Lamaisa, that's the sheet of Rashi. Sheet of Taisa bin Achananel, that hiddur mitzvah, yes, in Chanukah was patterned after hiddur mitzvah called Torah Kula. Even though it's unique, it has a third, has another level to it, which we don't have anywhere else. But nonetheless, it was modeled that you had, needed a notion of you of clarity, that it's conveyed in a clear way, and that's why Rabbi Achananel quotes your Baba Kama. That's why Rashi said Achran mitzvahs, and that's why Taisa says that the third level modifies the first, precludes you from filling the second. Oh, but if you open up a Rambam. Says Rav Zhulti, the Rambam holds not that way. Rambam holds, I'm sorry, I beg to differ. Rambam says in the eighth night of Hanukkah, if you have 10 members in your household, how many candles do you light? 80. Plain and simple. Rambam says you light 80. Mahajim and Hajim, according to the Rambam, is doing what? Is modifying the second one. Yeah. Correct. Well said. And therefore, the Baal Bayis, the Rambam, has another connection I want you to get. The Rambam, you look it up, says that 80 candles must be lit by the Baal Bayis. It's going to get tired. Not the members in the household. The Baal Bayis has got to light all 80, according to the Rambam. Amazing.
Does it matter if it's on one Chanukiah or separate?
Like one menorah? Yeah, he'll light different Chanukiah. 10 for 8, but he'll have to light them all. It's amazing Rambam. The Baal Bayis lights the whole thing. It's amazing. But that's what he says. Now, you pointed out very well, Nissen, that the third level is modifying the second level. But what's the problem with the Rambam?
One person lighting.
No, that's not a problem. That's the Chiddush Rambam. What's the problem with the Rambam? It's not Nikar. People walking down the street are going to think, they don't know what night it is. Very good at it. What do you do with Rashi Tez Rabin Hananel's Taini? It's a great kasha. Should the Rambam respond back? I don't care. Who says that Hanukkah has to be patterned after Kol Terukul? Hanukkah, you put it in a box and that's it. It's you put it in a box. Number one, right, is it's a third level. There's a third level. Nowhere else is there a third level. That's an indicator maybe you box it in. And number two, it doesn't have to be recognizable at all. So Mahadra Menadra goes back and it modifies Mahadra and you come out with 80 candles. It's amazing, no? And if you look in the Rambam, it's very meduyuk. You know what Rav Zhulti says? He says, if you look in the Rambam, he says, Mahadra es a mitzvah. Wow. Rashi said what? Mitzvos. Because it's pattern after Kol Terukula. If you look in the Rambam, Rambam says, yeah, Perek Dal Olach Alf. Commoners who madlik b'chanak v'liv, Mahadra es a mitzvah. Whoa. Singular, because he holds that Hanukkah is a special din. And therefore, your Malik Inin Abayas, the Rambam says, Mahadra es a mitzvah. Not like Rashi. Rashi holds like, Toysun Rabbeinu Hananel. Rambam holds, you box it in, and it doesn't bother me if what? If it's not recognizable, because it's a special din of Hanukkah. That's the Chiddush you want to bring out. Okay?
That means Rambam would have hold, yeah.
Rambam holds that the Zekeh Levi Aveh was a marker for Hidr Mitzvah Kol Terukula, but not on Hanukkah. Well said. Correct. Go ahead. What do you say,
Adam? It seems that Rashi tells us from Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Hananel or Mashma that the Mahadrin is a function of, and like presuming Nisa, the function of knowing what night it is as opposed to just knowing that it's Hanukkah. It's like, if you're lighting any candles, even though you don't know exactly what night it's going to be mixed up, you'll see.
Right. It's a very good horror. In other words, you have to be able to convey the story, but in an exact way. Not enough there's a holiday of Hanukkah. You have to know what night it was, like the Rebbe said. Remember we said from the Rebbe and the Rambam? Yeah. About which Rebbe, you have to understand the history more than any other mitzvah. So just like the Pesu and Nisa, it can't be in generalities. It's got to be very detailed and specific. And therefore, if it's felt in that, you're not Yotze. Okay? It doesn't really work out so well, because the Rebbe was saying that in the Rambam, the Rambam, okay, but they'll say you have to know the general rules. But we're suggesting even more than that, that the Rambam doesn't, you don't have to know the actual night it is. He didn't really care about that. He said it's boxed in.
Knowing
the holiday, correct. That's what he wanted to say. But we're saying that it doesn't have to be recognizable according to the Rambam. Rashi Tosi said it's got to be really recognizable. And Rabbeinu Hananel. Okay, so we got that clear. It's very meduyah. Okay, so let's get now, let's start a few nafka minis, the time that we have. And we'll continue throughout the week. I think tomorrow we're going to do Baba Kama, because we have a long Seder. Tuesday we'll go back to Hanukkah.
I think tomorrow is the Chagigah, 11:30.
Right, okay, so we got time. We got time. Tuesday I think we're going to do Hanukkah. Tuesday. No, regular time. Regular time. It's only a half an hour Chagigah or something. Yeah, lunch. It'll be regular time shit. Okay. Just short Chagigah. We used to have the Chagigah at night during Hanukkah. We don't do it. They want to do, what'd you say? 1:15 tomorrow. Same time. Tomorrow's Monday. Bezrat Hashem. Okay. Please get this down. An issue you were hinting to before, Yonatan, about a poor and indigent man, God forbid. What do you do? So let's start. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Simen, Tuf Resh Ayin Aleph Sif Aleph. Let me read it to you. Sarach Lizahir Ma'od Bad Lakas Neris Chanukah. Person must be very careful to make sure that he fulfills this mitzvah. Yafilu Anya Misparnes Minat Staka. Even if an Anya is being supported from Staka, Shoal Omach Ksuso. He must borrow or sell his clothes for lokeach shem and lahalik, and he must what? He must take oil, buy oil, with those clothes that he's with that money that he sold. You might have to sell the stuff off your back. Now, why is that so unique?
Because no other cases.
What's the normal rule about how much gelt you got to spend for mitzvah? How much? No, more than a fifth. Al yabaz beis yosher michomish. You don't have to spend more than a fifth of your bank account to fulfill a mitzvah. What about to avoid a lav? The Rama says, quotes the Ron and Sukkah, you have to spend your whole bank account to avoid a lav. If a person's gonna, if you have to eat ham, you got to spend your whole bank account to get out of a situation eating ham. But a mitzvah only up to a chomish. Okay, so here you have a strange din. So the halacha is as follows. Let's get this. Based on what we call Pursuma Nisa. What are the three mitzvahs that revolve around Pursuma Nisa? Ner Chanukah, Kriyas Megillah, and Arba Kosos. All those three mitzvahs, you have to sell your suit off your back if you need to, God forbid, to raise funds to buy the stuff. To buy a Megillah, to buy wine for Arba Kosos, or to buy Shemen or Ner for the what? For Ner Chanukah. That's the halacha. That's where the Mechaber begins and says you have to be very careful about it. To that degree, this is what we assume. Okay. Comes along the Mishnah Berurah, and he says, well, Pursuma Nisa requires you either knock on the door for money, or sell your clothes, or what? Or sell yourself out to work, at least. But, how much do you have to do? So he says, you're not mechuyev to do more than one candle every night. Follow me? The Bir Halacha actually quotes the Chemed Moshe, that Gaboyim are mechuyev to give Neros Lahalik, like by Arba Kosos, but he says they only have to give one candle, Neru Shubeso, and that's it. You're not mechuyev to subsidize them for the Mahajim. You follow me? That's what the Bir Halacha says, B'Shem, the Chemed Moshe. You only give him one candle, the fifth night he comes over to you, in Shul, says he doesn't have enough money, I give him one candle. Yes, Nissen.
What should he do if he has, let's say, five candles, and it's, let's say, the fifth night, meaning he only has five left. Should he then light all five to do Mahajan and Mahajan, or should he just do one a night?
I would say, well, one night I'll be able to do three, right, yeah. At least. Right, so you should save it. Save it.
Okay.
Save it. But what do you do if you're a guy that's stuck? How much do you give him?
Okay.
So he says only one. So, Dor Samech argues. Dor Samech argues on the Rambam. I'm going to read you this Rambam. Listen to this Rambam. Mitzvah, this is Perek Dal Alach Yid Beis. Mitzvah Ner Chanukah Mitzvah Chaviva Hi Admo, which is interesting, it's very dear. Sarach Adam Li Zarba Kinesh Lo Dia Nes Lo Siv Shvach Hashem Vo Daya. Person has to be very careful and convey the miracle and add praise to Hashem Vo Daya Lo Al Anishim Shah Solanu. Tafilu Ein Lo Mal Yochel, he has nothing to eat, Elamin At Stoka. Shoel O Mocha Ksuso, borrow or sell your clothes, Velo Kech Shemin Vineros Umadlik. What's the key word there? Neros. Okay, Shemin v'Neros. The Rosh Hashanah says, why does he write the word Neros? You know why? Because you give him five. Now, I thought you could just say this meant in general, you know, oil and candles. But did he really mean that? But the Rosh Hashanah was Madaik. Rosh Hashanah is much greater than me. The Rosh Hashanah says, no, Shemin Neros means collectively, it means on the fifth night, give him five candles.
Wouldn't it be Shemin Silos instead of, you're not using Shemin and...
Yeah, that's what he means. Shemin, Neiros, let's say, would be the wax, you know? Shemin or wax. But I thought he just meant wax candles. And you know, he's talking about oil and wax. There's no plural word of oils. Actually, he could have said shmonos. But Lamai said, okay, we don't talk like that. Okay, Shemin in general. Sometimes oil can mean general, plural oil. So that's what Or Samech is Medayik, and he claims the Rambam argues on this Bir Halacha B'Shem Chemin Moshe. And he claims that you have to give him five candles. And that's what we do, push up shot. That's what Rav Shach says as well. Rav Shach says it's became institutionalized. You don't make the guy feel bad and give him one candle. Give him five. Okay? So we have a machlaikis, one sec, between who? The Chemin Moshe against Or Samech, Pshat and Rambam. Yes, go ahead. What do you say?
Why in our software where we say with the four Arba Kosos, we say give them all four Kosos. That's we're giving them the Mahajan of the Mitzvah, right?
No, each one's a Chiv.
What's the
Derisa? It's a Rabbanan, but each one's a Chiv. Can I get the Arba Lashonos?
But isn't it the Mahajan? We're giving them
it's not Mahajan.
Why are we giving them
wine,
not anything else?
Well, he's got to have four cups.
I don't know.
He's got to have, okay, you could give him grape juice too as well, same thing. Four cups you got to give him though, nothing less. Here there's difference, Lamais, in the nights. How much do you have to light on the fifth night? Five or one? So the Bir Halacha Shem Echad Moshe says one. Or some asks in the Ram, no, you got to give him five. What's the machlokes?
We're giving him the Mahajan, though.
No.
With
arba kosos, you're not giving grape juice, I'm saying. You're giving grape juice. You could give him grape juice. Same thing, wine, grape juice, same thing. Well, mice. You hear what I'm saying? What's the chiddush here? What's the machlekes here? What are we arguing about? You guys tell me. What's the machlekes all about? I'll give you a hint. What is the relationship between hiter mitzvah and ikar mitzvah? Plug it in for me. What do you say?
If you hold this hiter mitzvah, you have to do it.
No, no, no. Exactly what I said. No, what are the two approaches to the relationship between hiter mitzvah and the ikar mitzvah? How could you say it? You guys give me the two approaches. In lumdus. Well said. In other words, to say it a little bit different, Adam, but this is what you meant. If you say the hiter mitzvah because integrated into the ikar mitzvah, which you said beautifully, qualitatively enhances the mitzvah, it's a different mitzvah. Or do you say no, it remains separate, it's just plus. It's an additive. It's a plus. One plus. But it doesn't integrate and become it qualitatively enhances the mitzvah. You follow me? It remains a din chitzayni. A din atzmoy is independent din. Or do you say no, it becomes subsumed under the ikar mitzvah? Well said, Adam. So plug it in now. What do you say? If you all like the beer, Allah lechem in motion, the fifth night, you only give him one can, and what does that show? That hitter mitzvah is what?
It just enhances it. The hitter enhances the mitzvah, but it doesn't change it.
Yeah, okay, but whether to say it remains an extrinsic, technical din, okay. But it's external. I'm not mechuyev to subsidize him on the hitter, only the ikar mitzvah. Yeah. So I'm only going to give him one. But if you all like Dor Sameach and the Rambam, what is the relationship between hitter mitzvah and ikar mitzvah?
You actually change it.
You actually becomes integrated qualitatively. It becomes a different, more enhanced mitzvah. Therefore, I can't give him less than five. Got to give him five. It's a fundamental machlokes what the relationship between ikar mitzvah is and what hitter mitzvah and the ikar mitzvah. Okay. Yeah, becoming similar to that. Well said. That's why he says you got the Dayan in Bnei Brak. Forgot who it is on the bottom of the page of Avi Ezra. He says, according to Avi Ezra, you certainly should give him five. Like you said. So Dayan Bnei Brak points that out in the Sefer, in the one of the editions of Avi Ezra. Oh. Now, you could suggest, and I want you to think about this. I'm going to give you an example of this machloikis in Kol Torah Kulu. What do I mean? You know, when you do a bris milah, there's something called tzitzin. You know what tzitzin are? The skin. Some of the skin that's left over. So there are certain tzitzin that are ma'akvin that prevent the mitzvah milah from being fulfilled. And then there's tzitzin she'ena ma'akvin. There's tumpa skin that doesn't prevent you, but it's nice to get the whole thing out to make it look neat. Now, tzitzin she'ena ma'akvin is hitter mitzvah. Okay? The Gemara says in Shabbos, on Kuf Lamed Gimel and Beis, once you finish the milah, yes? Once you finish doing the milah, the ikar milah, and you stopped, you do not go back on the sits and shena makvin. You do not. Now, Rashi in the Tur learn that's talking about bein b'chol, bein b'shabbos. What does that mean? Whether it's during the week or whether it's Shabbos. That halacha is being said by both. That's a pelum. On Shabbos, what are you allowed to do? Amila bismano is docha Shabbos. How do you know biyom hashminini? Afilu b'Shabbos. Now, are you allowed to do the hitter mitzvah? Normally, hitter mitzvah is not docha Shabbos. But am I allowed to do the shenim akan Shabbos? Yes, because kozman I'm doing the mila, I can do the hitter mitzvah, right? But what does that do? What's the difference about chol? See, during the week on Shabbos, it's an isser malacha you're doing. How can you should be chayav skila? It's a special heter to do it. So once I'm doing the ikar mila, I can do the what's in the shenim akan as well. But once I stop doing the mila, what's the din? Once I stop doing the mila, what's the din? There's no concept of hitter mitzvah anymore. That's why it's even during chol. Because the whole notion of hitter mitzvah is while you're doing the ikar mitzvah. You understand what I'm saying? It's so integrated that it only has a life when you're actually doing the ikar mitzvah. But once you stop doing the ikar mitzvah, you're done. You follow me? So that's why Rashi and Torah say it's even during the week. Okay? It's even during the week. So what I want to bring out here is that this nafkamina is svi. How does the hitter mitzvah relate to the ikar mitzvah? If it's integrated, then he give the guy five. If it's separate, I only give him one. I'm not going to give him five. But we have a similar machloikis in Kol Torah Kula. Is the hitter mitzvah part of the ikar mitzvah? Yes, Rashi Torah says, even during the week. Once you're done, you're done. There's no notion. It's like you're doing a surgery if you went back on the Sechen Mach. It's nothing. Because it only has a life when you're doing the ikar mitzvah. You know what I'm saying? That's why he says Bein B'chol Bein B'Shabbos. Whereas the Rambam holds no, that it's a separate din. What do you mean it's a separate din? So how can it be what? But you're still allowed to do it when you're doing the Iker Milah. But in a Charami, during the week, do you go back? During the week, do you go back? If you forgot, yes, according to the Rambam, you would go back. Because it has a life on its own. It does not talk a Shabbos, but it has a life on its own. You follow me? Rambam will learn when you're doing the Milah, also the Hidur Mitzvah will be Dakka too. It's a little bit of a Chiddush, because according to the Gemara Menachos, Hidur Mitzvah on its own is not Dakka Shabbos. So that's one very good Nafkamina. Okay? One very good Nafkamina. Now, as I said, the Zman of lighting should be done at Tzeisik Kochavim, not at Shkia. That's what the Gaon says. We light in Shul at Shkia, but you don't light in your homes till Tzeisik Kochavim. Tzeisik Kochavim, I think you should do what you do normally on Shabbos. So if it's 50 minutes after Shkia, today it's about 5:20, 5:15.
So
5:15. 5:15, 5:20, yeah. What Shkia, 4:30 now?
5:13 today.
5:13 today? Thank you, Adam. So that would be the proper time to do it, right? That would be the proper time to do it, and you eat afterwards. And you should sit by it a little bit. Don't sit too close so you're getting warmth from it or reading. But Lamaisa, you're sitting there at Lamaisa.
It should be after Meyer.
Does not have to be after Meyer.
Is it like ideal?
It is ideal. What, based on what klal? Tadr Shina, Tadr Kodim. You daven Meyer more frequent than what? Doing Chanukah. Correct. But you could say a whole pilpul, which we didn't get up to in the Gemara. We'll have to please keep these throughout the week because we have photocopy more. There's a whole Shalom and Nachos Tadr Kodesh. Tadr v'kodesh. So maybe Chanukah is kodosh, you know what I mean? Especially based on what we said about what? About it being patterned after what? The menorah and the mikdash. So, but it is ideal, but you don't have to. You have a set minion. Remember I said, if you can eat before, you need to do a reminder on your phone. You need to do a reminder on your phone, halach l'maisa, to make sure that you don't eat, God forbid, and what, and delay the what mitzvah. Oh, yes, Nissen.
Wait, so if you don't have a set minion for Ma'ariv, what should you do?
You don't have a set minion for Ma'ariv?
What?
10 o'clock every night, you daven Meyer, no?
You can, sometimes earlier.
It's a different generation, right? Different generation. If you haven't, if you don't have a set one, then you shouldn't eat, Lamaisa,
no, before. Should I daven Meyer?
It's better always to daven before, but if you can't, you can't.
No.
If you can't, you can't. It's better to do it before. But I don't want you to cause a Chil Hashem, leave the class in the middle, the college class. It's not nice to the professor. It's a Chil Hashem. So you should do it in between classes and light, or when you don't have class.
We cancel one of our classes.
Okay, good. But I'm saying it's not nice to walk out like that. It's Chil Hashem. You want to make sure you don't want to Mechal Hashem. Okay? And Rosh Hashanah always writes based on the Meiri that you're not supposed to do it during Seder either. Finish the Seder, the cold Seder, 6:30. Then afterwards you light. On Sunday, 5:30.
Okay? You brought Tadr Shina, Tadr Kodem. So with regards to selling, like we said, first you should buy yain for
like you said originally, first you should buy yain for Shabbos, then candles, and then afterwards if you have enough, then you should buy like. I thought the halacha is if you only have candles enough for wine, you do candles because Shalom Bayis. I thought the
Rambam says Shalom Bayis. No, that's Shabbos candles.
Shabbos candles, yes.
Shabbos candles, and then we say Chanukah candles, and then we say yain.
Yeah, is that true? Is that what the Rambam says? Okay, good. So what's a kasha? What are you bothered by? I know we got to look up the halacha. Okay? Yeah. We got to look up the halacha. Where it does come up, and let's close with this, I'd like to daven mincha if you have two guys. Or you want to, you guys want to do it later. But let me just tell you the last halacha. Friday afternoon, Mr. Brewer does say it's better if you can daven mincha before the light. Have a special minion for that. Because usually mincha always is, you know, tatar, shin, and tatar, but you end up lighting at home and then you daven mincha. So he says there's a special minion. They have a special minion in Psaic. I end up not doing it, but maybe I should try this Friday.
Now you should go out and try to get mincha, or if you don't.
Some shuls, they have an earlier mincha. Okay? All right, good. Everyone have a wonderful day. Do you guys want to daven mincha now?
Yeah.
Let's daven mincha. Try to cop two guys right now. Okay? Try to see.